Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about in church last week and approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, California, and I'm with our children and family director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And this week we started on a new topic, a new series called Tough Words, Great Love. We're just kind of looking at some of the harder to take things that Jesus said, but reminding us that even if they're hard to take, they're always given to lead us to the great love of Jesus, the great love of God. And the scripture we were looking at was from Matthew 12, where Jesus is sitting and he's talking to some people, and suddenly he's told that his mom and his brothers are outside.
Yeah.
And instead of running to go see them or bring them in and introduce them to everybody, instead, Jesus asks the question of the group. He says, well, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And then he says, my mother and my brothers are those who do the will of my Father in heaven. These are my brothers and these are my sister and my mother. Mm-hmm. It's a tough thing to hear, I would think, especially for Mary, but he means it for a purpose of bringing us to great love.
Right. It's surprising. It's not what we would expect from Jesus or from anyone, for sure. It's certainly probably not exactly what I would do at that moment. Jesus is our perfect example, but I think I would probably just run out to my family at that moment. But it is. It's a surprising moment, but it's also a good teaching moment. And Jesus understands that he is first and foremost creating his ministry or building his ministry at this moment, and that every moment he has is an opportunity for an example to us of how we should live in the kingdom. And he doesn't have a lot of time in his ministry. I think that sometimes we forget. He only had about 3 years in his ministry. So he's taking every opportunity to show us the way in which we should live. And though this might be surprising to us, it's not that Jesus is being mean in any sort of way. He's just trying to show us a great example of perhaps putting God first. And I think that that's really interesting, because it might not on the surface seem that way to some people when they read that.
Right, for sure. And I think Jesus is, again, he's giving everybody there a sort of preview of what's going to be coming.
Right.
When he, for example, through the Holy Spirit in Acts 10, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, he broadens out this idea, this definition of the family of God to all people, not just Jewish people, but Gentile people, all people who fear God and do what is right.
Right.
He's sort of doing the same thing here, saying, well, let's think about what our family looks like, our family in God. But I also think that just Jesus coming to earth, or God coming to earth in Jesus, and doing that within the context of the thing we know best, which is family.
Right.
God is, in that action, I think, elevating or showing us how dear the family is to him. So that this passage is not about denigrating the family or putting the family down, but rather, I think, elevating the family up to this idea of what God sees as our family.
Right. And it's important to know that. It's important to know that Jesus is not just leaving his family outside for the rest of the evening and going about what he was doing, but that he is radically expanding the people in that room's understanding, but also our understanding of what it means to be in the kingdom of God, what it means to be God's family, and how he really can serve both, and how in order for him to serve both his family and his, you know, godly family, his kingdom family, he has to start somewhere. And starting somewhere is to open that door to everyone, to create that family in the whole sense. And so that's what he's really doing here. He's really expanding that notion here so that he can then teach us how to best serve our families, whatever that might mean to us.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's saying that family, the family of God, our membership in the family of God, our part in the family of God, really should come first. Our devotion to God should come first, even above the most precious thing that people could even imagine, and most of us imagine too, our natural families. But in the long run, when we put God first, when we put our membership in the family of God first, that benefits our natural family. makes us better mothers, better fathers, better sisters and brothers, and the whole bit, right?
Right, exactly. So if we can put Jesus or our godly family or that kingdom first in our minds, and we can really look to that first and foremost, even above everything else, that really does trickle down. It shouldn't just stay within a vacuum of, mm-hmm. you know, church life or of our prayer time or whatever that is. That should expand out. And it certainly expands out from Jesus in what he does when he expands that notion of family and the importance of keeping his eye on God the whole time. And that's really an important thing to know, because yeah, if we are looking to Jesus first, sure. if we are following him first, we're going to learn how to love better. We're going to mm-hmm. learn how to be more kind to those around us, those yep. in our family that maybe not even our natural family, but the people around us, neighbors and those sort of things. And we're going to learn how to be more patient when we sure. really don't want to be patient. And we're going to learn how to explain ourselves multiple times in a way which people might understand, especially in our families when we're trying to work out differences and things like that, in a way like Jesus explains to us and treats us and deals with us in those times when we might not see eye to eye with him. So there's a lot of things that when we put Jesus first, when we put that God family first, it really does affect everything in our lives. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. And it's never to imply that we should make church so important that we neglect our families.
Right.
Because we've even talked about that before, how that can create a lot of resentment.
Right.
You know, within our families. But just to remember that putting God first and our devotion to him first is going to bring out the best in us, and we're going to be able to bring then the best of ourselves into our natural families.
Right.
And I think that Jesus really gets to that in another really tough thing he says about the family back yeah. in Matthew 10, where he says these words. He says, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Mm-hmm. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And you get the point.
Right.
That devotion to him sometimes is going to cause friction within the family. And we've talked about this too. It causes friction in the way that we might organize and run our families.
Right.
All the way down to whether it's soccer practice on Sunday mornings.
Right.
Or, you know, whether or not we go to church or those mm-hmm. kinds of things.
Right.
Sometimes our devotion to God is going to bring up some friction in yeah. our families. But I think Jesus here definitely is, again, making that point that the most merciful thing we can do and the greatest gift we can really give our families is to have a strong faith and devotion to God first.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's important. And I think that when we make those tough decisions, when we're God-minded and we start to make those tough decisions and we listen to those tough words that Jesus says, it's clear that, you know, not everybody's going to be happy with that. Not mm-hmm. everybody's going to be turned on by that and really see Jesus in that moment. But eventually, as we keep pointing, we keep being consistent with that, eventually everything's going to start to fall into place. And people will start seeing the consequence of those actions that we take, those choices that we make. And then it becomes clear that that's the right thing to do. And that's yeah. where God is leading us all. And our families are better for it in that time. And our kids might not be super happy with us when we say, no, Sundays are for God mm-hmm. and not for friends and things like that. But
yeah, yeah.
it's important to have that consistency and that God-mindedness in our families at all times, because really, without that, where else do we go? Where do we go from there? When you keep that mindset on Jesus, he's going to point you in the right direction of love, of compassion, once again, mm-hmm. of
right.
patience. And it all comes down to that. It might be a tough choice, but it's always that right choice.
Yeah. And again, you know, we have to remember too, I mean, the greatest gift that we can give to anyone and the greatest thing that we can pursue for ourselves is actually eternal life with God.
Right.
Right. And I think that in this Matthew 10 passage, Jesus really focuses on that tough passage about Jesus coming and turning a man against his father and all that stuff,
right,
is bracketed by the reward in verse 32. He says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven.
Right.
But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So that's an important thing to remember, that that's the goal, is to be remembered before your Father in heaven, even if it means that we have some temporal friction with our temporal families. The goal is about eternal life. And that's, again, the greatest gift that we can give to our families, even though we can't really give it, but we can introduce that possibility to our families and let the Holy Spirit pick up on that.
Right. And what Jesus is saying is he's not saying that he wants us to live in conflict with one another. I mean, that's not his end goal, is that our whole lives we are living in conflict. He's hoping that with those actions, that it opens that door to him. It opens that door to greater understanding in our families, in those groups that might have friction at those points, that it opens up the door to become more like him. And not just in us, but in everybody that is affected by it. So he's not saying that just so that you have really bad relationships with your in-laws or with your, you know, your kids or whoever that is. He's not saying that at all. He's saying it out of love, knowing that ultimately it has the potential, when those hearts are softened and the fruits of the Spirit come out in you and people really see them evidently within all that you do, that it can actually lead to a greater understanding of him and ultimately more believers coming into the kingdom.
Yeah, and our families actually appreciating that too.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, the values that we obtain from devotion to God and from being part of God's family, when we import those values into our natural families, again, things are going to go better. Even if there is friction, one of our family values that we get from Jesus' family is to love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
So again, that's with real self-giving and real listening and real sacrifice for the people around us. So even if devotion to God causes friction in the family, it's those very values that are going to help us move through those, lean into those problems, but also move through them and find more common ground, compassion, and all of those things.
Yeah.
Jesus loved his natural family. And I just really believe that, you know, of course, he was probably the most compassionate and the most giving and the best family person ever because of who he was. But that's kind of the example for us, not to leave our families behind because we're so into Jesus, but be so into Jesus that our families are elevated by that. I think that's what Jesus is trying to get across. You know, in John chapter 19, you get that scene where Jesus is actually on the cross and he's in the, you know, just at the crucial moment of his deepest suffering. And what does he do? But he looks out and sees his mother and takes care of his mother. Says, John, this is your mother now.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus loved his natural family. We should love our natural family, but the best way to love them is to put him first.
That's right. That's right. Everything else will fall into place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being with us today. And of course, if you're ever in Burbank, stop by and join us for 10:30 worship here at Magnolia Park. And of course, you can worship with us anytime online just by following the link on the directions for this podcast. So I hope you have a blessed week, and we'll catch up with you next week on Under the Stained Glass.
Bye.